What can you say about a man who created the most popular fictional character in 20th century America, second only to Walt Disney and his Mickey Mouse? I'm speaking, of course, of Jerry Siegel, who along with Joe Shuster brought Superman into being. Mr. Siegel did not speak formally at the San Diego Comic Convention, so we arranged a special recorded interview where I, Alan Light, and fan columnist Murray Bischoff spoke to Mr. Siegel, his lovely wife Joan, and their attractive daughter, Laura. The Siegels certainly top our list of the nicest people we've met in fandom.
We were young kids, and in order if we wanted to see a movie, well, we had to sell milk bottles. And so we had this feeling that we were sort of like right there at the bottom, and we could sympathize with people who were in trouble, and that's what had something to do with the creation of Superman, who would help people in trouble.
I think that had a great appeal to people, because they were all hoping that someone would rescue them or them inside them.
Yeah, well, so Superman grew out of our personal feelings about life. And that's why quite often when we saw these so many other similar strips coming out, we felt that perhaps they were imitating the form and format of Superman, but there was something that wasn't there, and that was this tremendous feeling of compassion that Joe and I had for the downtrodden and the people in trouble, and that is something that's in your heart and not in your pocketbook.
You were connected with the Superman strip until the war, is that correct?
That's right. Well, no, even longer. Because when I came out of the war, I resumed my association. I was on a strip from from the very beginning all the way through to 1948 when we had our first legal action. And when I was away in the Army, that's when they began the system of ghosting. And there are some things I would love very, very much to say now, giving details of why I went off Superman and that was the beginnings of it, but I guess I'll just have to save it for some other occasion. But anyway, so I worked on it from the very beginnings in 1938, though we actually started on the strip back in about 1933. It took us about 6 years, approximately, to sell the thing. I was on it till 1948, then I was off it for about 10 years. Then I went back on writing for the national periodicals again in 1959, and I worked for them with no byline at regular page rates from 1959 through 1966.
Now, Mr. Shuster worked with you up until 48.
That's right. We were associated together for that full period.
How did he handle the artwork, say, after 1940, when it was obvious he was not doing it all himself?
Yeah, well, what happened, of course, is there was so much to be done. Obviously, he needed a staff. He did hire a staff, and he supervised them pretty closely. And sometimes sometimes he would make sketches himself. On other occasions, other people would make sketches. And a number of the artists who did make the sketches, actually, their sketches just weren't satisfactory, and Joe would work over them and almost completely alter them so they were almost recognizable. Now, readers may jump to the conclusion that, well, Joe Shuster didn't actually draw anything, other people worked on it, but the final result did have the spirit of Joe, and quite often he did do a great deal of work on it, and in many instances he insisted on inking the Superman heads and the heads of the other leading characters, at least for a long time. Oh, yes, well, he got something almost mystical in his faces that I don't think anyone else has ever caught since.
We think that too much sophistication that came later was distracting and a deterrent rather than an addition. Up to a point it was good, but then they almost got Superman looking mean.
Yes, yes.
Well, there's a definite charm about the early.
Yes.
Oh,
I would have preferred continuing doing it the way the thing was in the original, but great pressure was brought on Joe and I to conform to what they felt comic books should be, that the comic books should be closer to the pulp publications. So we had to endure that pressure.
But the Superman television show, do you have an opinion on that?
Well, Then I, there again, I start entering an area that I probably would go into in the book, my reactions to it, except it was tremendously frustrating to me to not be earning 1 cent from Superman and read in the paper that a $25 million deal had been signed while my family and I were practically on the verge of starvation.
Did you ever meet Mr. Reeves?
Joanne, you did that. My wife did that, not I.
Strangely enough, long before he ever got to be Superman in the television, I met him in Los Angeles, and we became very good friends. And he never knew that I had posed for Lois Lane. We never talked about that. We just he was a bit player and a stand-in man, and he was doing movie work. And I was working in a club as a cigarette girl.
Years later, in the
and we became very good friends. He was like a brother to me, and he used to stop in every night, and we talked, and we became very good friends. And then years later, he became Superman on television, and it was strange because I had posed, and he never knew that.
Well, I started to say, and then there was a strange experience where my wife and I were walking down the streets of New York one day, and walking right toward us was George Reeves, the fellow who portrayed Superman on television. By the way, it's never been mentioned, or it hasn't been mentioned much, except in just a recent interview that appeared in the Sunday edition of the San Diego Union, that my wife Joanne was the original model for the Lois Lane character. When Superman was first appeared, she actually posed for the character for Joe, and so here you are, gentlemen, Lois Lane in the living, palpitating flesh.
My secret identity. Revealed at last. Yeah. Well, we were all youngsters then, and I was a skinny little kid, and I wanted to earn money on Saturdays, so I put an ad in the situation. Wanted of the plain dealer, Cleveland plain dealer.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't know anything about modeling, you know. Mm-hmm. But I was like Jerry and Joe, very gutsy for my age.
Good.
So I put an ad in, and I got a lot of mail, mostly from guys who wanted dates. Because I put attractive model. I figured I had to put something in to, you know, get some mail. So Joe wrote me a letter, and he said he was looking for a model to pose for a comic strip. And he would pay me $1.50 an hour, which was very good money then, you know.
It was like $1,500 an hour nowadays.
And I thought, well, that was pretty good, you know, for Saturday, because people used to work all day for that kind of money. So I posed in front of the bedroom mirror. I practiced different poses and memorized some. And meanwhile, I got the mail, and when I went up to Joe Shuster's place, my heart was pounding, you know. And so I knocked on the door, and a boy my size opened the door wearing glasses. He just opened it a crack. And I said, I'm the model Mr. Shuster wrote to. So he opened the door, and he motioned me in. And we started talking, and we hit it off right away. We were talking about movies. We were talking about everything, and I was thawing out. Mm-hmm. And a woman stuck her head out of the kitchen and said, hello. And an older woman and a little girl ran through the living room, chased by a little boy, and ran out again. And we were talking for the longest time. And finally I said, does Mr. Shuster know I'm here? And he said, I'm Mr. Shuster. He was in senior high, and I was in junior high, but he was, you know, same height as I was, and, you know, and I thought he was just Mr. Schuster's younger brother, because I didn't know who Mr. Shuster was.
If you kept track of the Superman character today, have you just...
I haven't watched it too closely because it's a traumatic thing for me. I have seen changes in the format, which I think that the change is almost made for the just for the sake of change itself, and I don't really think that really tremendously is that much of an advance.
Well, things are real bad for us. If Superman came on television, we'd turn it off.
Do you think that the way comic books are today, supposedly so much more sophisticated than we were in the old days, that your vision of Superman would be the proper one to go back to if...
If I had any say so, I see no reason at all why there couldn't be some editions of Superman that did follow that format. I don't think it would be harmful. It might even be helpful, and it might round out the character. And there might be millions of people out there who would like a more simpler, direct but very powerful version of Superman.
Yes, you actually never had Superman as being totally invulnerable, as we had it, the robots could actually beat him down. They didn't fall apart as soon as he walked into the room. Prefer a more human Superman.
Well, yes, from the very beginning. Superman himself had a pretty much of a sense of humor about the whole thing. And one of the reasons why I gave him that attitude was because the whole concept in itself was such a wild, wild, wild thing. I think I felt that the only thing that would breathe any real life and believability into it is if Superman himself didn't take the whole thing that seriously. Except that he was very serious about helping people in trouble and distress, because that's the way I felt. Now, it has been said that Captain Marvel had a great deal of humor in it, and that Superman was absolutely humorless, but that just is not true. If you look back at the early stuff, you'll find that Superman was kidding around quite a bit when he was tearing tanks apart and kicking airplane squadrons here and there and everywhere. So there was a spirit of fun in the thing. And as a matter of fact, Joe and I, when we first started going in comics, we had intended to do a comedy strip, so we were very comedy oriented, and that's why Superman did have this sort of comedy flair to it. And incidentally, on the matter of inaccuracies, there have been so many stories about the purported true inside authentic story of Superman that are just full of holes. So perhaps someday a lot of these things will be straightened out, these inaccuracies. Perhaps in my own book will be straightened out. What is interesting about this interview is it really is a first, because Joe and I have been in seclusion for many, many years, for about 11 years or so. And I guess even before then, we didn't talk. We didn't talk too much. And there's just so much about our story that has never been told. And this is really the first time that we're touching on some of the aspects.
Right up. Okay. Marvelous.
Thank you so much for
spending this little
pleasure.
Time with us.
And I want to thank you again so much. It was your column that really brought it all about. And I want to thank both of you so very, very much for not only the mentions that you gave me, which brought me here in the very first place, but some of the photographs that you've run in recent issues, such as of Shell and myself. I think you're two great guys. You're very warm-hearted. And as I've told Murray, I wouldn't be here except for your people, and particularly Murray and this column.